What shape were you in physically? Were you okay, your body,
Well,
after World War II?
when I, somewhere I have the records, they insisted. Now, I took care of myself. Next day after I had the assistant manager look up in the book and check out where could I go to be taken care of. So, and he recommended, he knew who Dr. Roden was an authority on tropical diseases. I'd had very, very dengue fever and what have you. And I was in really, like everybody else, in bad shape.
When did you finally get back on your feet? When did you start working again?
Oh, I reported to the company right away. But as far as I belong to the Olympics Club in San Francisco. But the doctors, all of them, said no exercise. You're not conditioned to do anything except walk.
So that was World War II. That was 60 years ago, we'll say. So how did you get from the steamship company to West Virginia, where you have a farm?
Oh, well, I came to West Virginia because I was well acquainted with West Virginia. My people had lived there since in what is the area is now Jefferson County. Been there since 1732.
Oh, so your family was from West Virginia and they moved out to Missouri? That's how you wound up being born there?
Slowly,
Slowly, yeah, okay, all right. So
as all the story of the westward migration follows this, the Buckles and Lucas, and moved out to Ohio to Illinois, rich land there, and from there to Missouri.
So, when did you leave the steamship business?
Oh,
After the war.
after the war, I was rescued in 1945, and then I spent so many years in Europe and other parts of the world that I decided my wife was born on a ranch. Her grandfather's ranch in California, a big one. And my people had been landowners and farmers for generations, both sides of the family, since the colonial days.
So you decided to leave the sea and come back to the
Yeah,
land.
we were planning on to move our company. We started to South to Brazil, and I was to be number one down in Brazil. But I realized the way my attitude toward a job is there to accomplish something for the company, and if I went there, I'd be at least 10 years. More. And what I should do, it was best for us to get away from San Francisco. My wife had the sinuses bothered her in that cold climate is just right for me. And we'd be better off in the land. So in 1953, we came to back to Jefferson County, West Virginia.
And you've been there ever since?
Yeah.
And what was your wife's name?
Mayo, M-A-Y-O.
Mayo?
Mayo.
Well, my grandmother's name was May. My grandmother was yeah. M-A-Y, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. So when did you get married to your wife?
In 1946. I knew her before the war.
And you have how many children?
One.
One?
Susanna.
And so now, the farm you have is 300 acres?
330 acres.
And you raise, is it farm and ranch, or raise cattle as well?
Well, all three. It's a general farm.
Uh-huh.
We have alfalfa, soybeans, and beef cattle, 200 head at least.
So were you a cowboy in West Virginia then?
No. But I started working right away. Gap View had never been called a farm. It had been called Gap View. But when I decided to take over the operation myself, I added the farm on it, Gap View Farm. And where a lot of men getting prepared to finish, retire, I just got started to work. And I took over this farm in January 1954.
So you were 53?
Yeah.
You were 53, starting a new career.
And, yes.
Wow.
And I continued to drive the tractors, do all the mowing on the place, and put in, not all, I guess, some help on putting in the crops. But continued driving myself until I was 102.
God bless you. And what?
And I had planned to continue until 105, but my daughter interfered. She's learning to do the farming now, and her husband takes to it.
Two questions. How do you feel about, now you're here in South Dakota because they're going to honor you tomorrow at Mount Rushmore
yeah.
for being the last surviving World War I veteran. How do you feel about that?
Well, I knew that somebody has to be, because we had an organization called Veterans of World War I. It was only formed recently, about 1948. And no provision when we were the last one dies, it's finished.
So you're it.
And I'm it.
So how do you feel about all this honoring they're going to give you tomorrow?
Oh, well, it's something I knew they were going to do that.
How does it make you, do you feel good about that, or?
Well, it's just inevitable that that'll happen. When we had the publication, we had called it The Torch. Muriel Sue Kerr was the woman that was really kept it, the magazine going, and was the editor, and was doing well. At each publication, she would say, on December the 8th, 1918, there were 4,734,991 veterans. Today there are, given the number, and I kept accurate account. And after all, I, oh my God, I'm going to be one of those veterans. Because I knew I'd live to be 100 years old. That's easy. for me.
Do you feel proud that you're going, being honored at Mount Rushmore? Do you feel humbled? How do you feel? How do you feel about going to Mount Rushmore tomorrow and they're going to give you this flag and they're going to make a big deal about you, Frank Buckles?
Well, I realize that as a survivor, as a reduced number of survivors, that eventually somebody will be the number one. I didn't think it was going to be, I thought it would be about 100 of us, about the same age.